Good morning. Our church has adopted a purpose statement that goes something like this. Love God, love people, and help people love God. Pretty simple, right? Pretty difficult, right? This next quarter, as we are starting today, in our classes and in our sermon time, we are going to be focusing on that middle portion of loving people. It is the fundamental part of this whole purpose statement. Loving God, in many ways, is an easy thing to do because God is so loving and God is so gracious and God is so good to us. Even when we mess up, oftentimes we don't feel that repercussion or that discipline. And so it's some ways easy for us to come back into that right relationship with God. This middle part is loving people. And that's where it gets really messy because you know what? People are messy individuals. It's difficult for us to forgive and to forget. God does that very naturally. We don't. And I remember those things you said about me, Fred. And it still hurts. And it's tough to come to services and see you up here on stage. Fred and I don't have any negative thoughts about you. But we do have those feelings about one another. There might be someone across the hall or coming to second service that you would just soon not rather see. And it's difficult for us to love one another. And we are Christians. We are devoted followers of Christ. And we have adopted this purpose statement into our lives. But yet it's difficult for us to love one another. So the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of loving people. And I think the greatest illustration for us is Jesus Christ. And so from the pulpit this morning and for this series, we will be looking at the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and trying to dive in and to see the illustrations of love portrayed in Jesus. Mark is a very unique book as a gospel portraying the life of Christ. Mark is the shortest gospel book that we have, almost half as short as some of the other ones. 14 chapters compared to 28 in other books. In my Bible, it's about 25 pages worth of reading. Luke and John come close to 40 pages in my Bible. It's a short synopsis of the life of Christ. And what Mark does differently than the other gospel writers is he portrays the life of Jesus as a man of action, as a person who is involved in a variety of different scenes and scenarios. And it moves very quickly. I want to tell you that as we go through this time, I want to make a commitment to you that I'm going to value your time. I have a degree in economics, and so there is this economic term called opportunity cost. Are you familiar with that? That at this time right now, you have the opportunity, or you had the opportunity, to stay home and do laundry. You have the opportunity to go back to work and finish some of those tasks that you haven't completed last week. You have the opportunity to stay home and rest a little bit and sleep in. You had the opportunity to do a variety of different things. And I understand that you have that opportunity. If this were just a simple math equation and you were to go to work at a minimum wage type of a place, this next hour combined total, we would have more than a couple of $1,000 worth of income coming in as an opportunity cost. And I want you to know that I'm going to try to give you a value for your time. And I want to encourage you to be a part of this series as we look through this. I'm going to try to be punctual with my time. I want us to know that what we are doing together is valuable. And I have thought about the things that I'm going to share. And I'm trying to be right with our schedule as we get ready for our classes. I want you to also know that I'm going to try to speak to our whole congregation. Because as I look around, I see older and I see younger. I see married and I see single. I see those who are hurting and those who are rejoicing. I know that we are a blend of a unique set of individuals. and unique set of families. And so I'm going to try to use some illustrations. I'm going to try to use some stories. I'm going to try to use some text and some Bible knowledge that will engage with each and every one of you. Now, there may be some times when my story or my illustration or the background that I'm giving just kind of goes over your head or goes in one ear and out the other. I ask for grace as I try to deal with everyone this morning and through this series. But that's my goal, and I'm going to try to present to the whole group. My commitment also is to challenge you, that I believe as we come into the Word, as we get to spend time with Jesus Christ, our life will be changed. There's a phrase in a song that I love. To come into the presence of the Lord is to be changed. And if Sunday after Sunday, after day, we don't come into the presence of the Lord, our life will not change. And if we don't change, we remain the same that we are. And we are in many ways not like Christ or God wants us to be. And so I hope that you will be challenged. I hope you will allow yourself to be challenged as we go through this. I've got a couple of questions or asks of you for your commitment to be a part of this study together. I want to ask that you will read over the selected material for the coming week. If you look in your bulletin, just one page back or previous from the inside middle cover there, we have the sermon notes for this morning. And listed there, middle is the M group. If you go one page to the front, you'll find our sermon series notes here and an outline of the topics that we'll be discussing and their scriptures. I want you to commit this week to reading these scriptures with me and praying over them and preparing your mind and your heart to come and be a part of a worship study where we focus on these things. Will you do that with me? I want to ask that you will bring your own Bible to services. As you read, you will make notes, you'll highlight, you'll underline, you will find something that is drawn to your attention, and we will come together. And I want those things to be on your mind when we are studying together. I want us to open up our own Word together and be people of the Word together. Finally, I want you to be a learner and a teacher. If you come and you just participate in listening to the things that are said, no offense, but you're no better than a pew. If you come and just listen to the things that are said, you are not impacting the world one bit. And I hope that as we go through this, at least the scripture, if nothing else that is said, will be impactful and changing in your life. And those things that are impactful and changing in your life, you will have the courage to share with your family or your coworkers or your neighbors, that you will be a teacher in the networks and the communities that you live and work in. Would you do that with me? So each week, I want us to come together, and this is my pledge as much as it is your pledge, that I have prepared this week by reading and praying over the selected scriptures. I brought my Bible today, and I will actively participate in the sermon. That will mean following along in the scriptures and taking notes and trying to remember what we're talking about. As we go through this study, I commit myself to be an active learner of the Word and the examples of Jesus. I commit also to take what I learn and share it with others. And here's the vital part of this all. Because I want to learn to love people as God has loved me. I hope you will take that commitment seriously and you will join me in this study. Because this world is in need of followers of Christ, demonstrating His love day after day as Christ did many thousands of years ago. Mark is a book that highlights Jesus as a man of action. It is a very fast read, only 14 chapters in there. Mark is a very interesting book because Mark was a, according to tradition and history, Mark was a follower or a disciple of Peter. He came to know about Christ after Christ's death, according to some reports. And so he is a young man who learned about Christ as he was following Peter, and Peter was out preaching to the church and the followers of that day. And Mark was there, and he was writing down these stories, and he was putting them into his journal and keeping up with the things that Peter was recalling and retelling about the life of Jesus. In Acts chapter 13, we see a man named John Mark, which is, many believe, the Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark, accompanying Paul and Barnabas after their first missionary journey. However, he abandons them and leaves a very bitter taste in Paul's mouth, so much so that Paul doesn't want Mark to go with him on any more journeys. And Barnabas, who is the uncle of Mark, takes him to Cyprus, and there he continues to train him and mentor him. There he continues to live out a life that is honoring and glorifying God. Eventually he travels probably into Rome or into Italy, where persecution is starting to beset the church. And he takes the time to write down the stories that he has learned from Peter. And he writes them in such a way that he emphasizes Jesus as a man of action. And the stories kind of clip off one after another, very quick and very sequential. And Mark leaves out a lot of the things that Jesus might have said in other gospels as it's been told. But he highlights the action and the interaction with the different people that he's involved in. As we go through this series, we're going to see a variety of different scenarios or different people that Jesus has met as Mark tells this story. And I want to highlight some of these. These are listed on that sermon page there in your bulletin. And these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. Next week, we're going to be looking at how Jesus called his disciples. And he says, you know, that you were fishermen, but now that you will be fishers of men. And as we take the analogy a little bit further, they had to think about their life and the migration, the different trends of the fish that they were trying to catch. And they had to work with a mindset like that. Jesus then calls them and says, you're going to be fishers of men. And so they had to change their mind and they had to start to think about the different aspects of how to engage mankind. Next week, we're going to be talking about authority and priorities. As Jesus comes and he starts to speak to the people of Israel, it's noted several times that he spoke with authority. Even the religious leaders took note of who Jesus was and the power that he had. We're told that we don't have a spirit of timidity, do we? We need to work on speaking with a little bit more authority. But Jesus also had a different set of priorities in his life. And Jesus lived a different set of time schedules than most of us or most of the people in his day. And so we're going to talk about some of those things. We're going to talk also about Trump. What is going to trump our culture? What is going to trump our schedule? What takes precedent over whatever we normally have? And Jesus demonstrates this time and time again, that there's some things like loving people that trump our culture and our schedule and our customs. We don't live often like that. If we were to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, oftentimes we're one of those people who are too busy and we turn a blind eye to those people who are in need and we keep on walking. We're going to look as Jesus takes this band of fishermen with no pedigree, no training, no experience, and he invites them in and then he sends them out and he engages them in his own ministry. Oftentimes we live in a world where we keep the world at a distance. We're afraid of what might happen if this guy comes into my life a little bit too much. What are my Christian friends going to think if this guy's around? But Jesus gathers this group of disciples. And he knows who they are. He can see into their hearts. And it's not like we usually think that at the Last Supper where Jesus finally realizes, oh my goodness, one of these guys is going to betray me. Jesus knows all along, doesn't he? From the very beginning when he picks Judas to be a part of his band of disciples. Jesus knew that he was going to be one who was going to betray him. I think this is a very vital and important point for us as we try to engage the world. We not judge them, but we allow them to work with us. We're going to be talking about the tiny seeds, that parable of the soil and the seed that we often heard about. But oftentimes we talk about more the soil than the potential of what is in the seed. And as we love people, we need to start seeing not their faults, but their potential. Because what lies in each of us is a potential for greatness to impact the world. And if I focus only on your shortcomings or your faults, if you only remember the things that I can't do, you won't free me to do the things that I can do. We're also going to be talking about crazy people. Jesus had to deal with some very crazy individuals. He is always being bombarded with these people who come into his life with urgent requests that don't quite fit on his day timer, but Jesus makes the time to deal with them. He's even dealing with some crazy, crazy people. This guy who's out there in chains and can't be held down. He's out there without any clothes on, running around the graves. Crazy, crazy people. Kind of like the guys that you work with or guys who live down the street from you. They're crazy, and so we just kind of disregard them. But Jesus says, you need to love them. And he shows us how to love them. And we're going to be talking about that some more this series. Greedy. How many people have some friends who are greedy? They just want a little bit more. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's influence. Maybe it's the prestige. Maybe it's just the recognition. Maybe it's this or that. Jesus surrounded himself with some individuals who were greedy. And as they ask to be able to sit on his right and his left when he comes into his power, Jesus takes that moment to show love to his disciples. These are some very powerful things because they're real things, things that we deal with in our day-to-day lives. We're going to also be talking about the next generation, not the Star Trek stuff like the picture suggests, but if we are really going to love people, we've got to be excited about the next generation. It was exciting for me last week to hear Jim Dixon sharing his vision for the younger kids being involved in Sunday morning class. Jesus had a heart and a love for those little children. If we really love people, we will love those of the next generation. And then Jesus deals so many times with those Pharisees and those legal leaders. And he gives them some warning signs and he gives them some very clear direction. And sometimes his interaction with them is very short and very harsh and direct. But in all of that, Jesus loved them and he was trying to steer them in the right direction if they would only hear and if they would only listen. Then we're going to talk about some extravagant women, some women who demonstrated love in some unique ways, ways that we would think is not practical. It's not right. We would advise you not to do that if you were to come into my office. But Jesus highlights them as examples of good and faithful love. Then finally, we're going to be talking about love and trouble. Because love, when we love people, we will have trouble with one another. Jesus predicted it with Peter. Jesus predicted it with Judas. John Mark had trouble with Paul and Barnabas. Trouble is throughout Scripture, but the choice is up to us if we will forgive, if we will rectify, if we will mend those relationships. And the example of Judas and the example of Peter gives us a very clear illustration of how we are to come back to one another, how we're supposed to come back to Christ and rectify those relationships. So that's some of the things that we're going to be talking about, and I hope that you will continue to be a part of this series. Let's dive into Mark real quick as we wrap up our time together. One of the highlighting verses in Mark is Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Would you look at that with me real quick? Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Jesus called them together and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, for even myself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we're going to talk about loving people, our first and our greatest and our only illustration need be Jesus Christ. For he came into this world to live and to die for people who would turn their backs to him. You talk about an illustration of love to the nth degree, knowing that his disciples were about to forget him and to abandon him and to leave him to suffer alone. You talk about love when he knew that Matt Huddleston, once he knew the greatness of God's love, would somehow become so callous and so uncaring that I would forget that love. Shout out to my wife like I am some sort of king of my house. God still loved us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved each and every one of you. God loves 7.2 billion people right now. And for that, he gave his one and his only son, that no one, not you, not me, not those peoples overseas, not those people across the street, not anyone would perish, so that everyone could have eternal life. God so loved the world. Jesus is a man of action. And as you read through Mark, I would encourage you to read over the scriptures that we're going to be talking about next week, but also just to read over these 14 chapters. If you read two chapters a day, it wouldn't take you all that long and you would be through this book by the end of the week. Jesus is a man of action, and you see him going from town to town and place to place. If you talk to someone who is really busy and moving and shaking, they don't tell you all the interactions that they have, but they just tell you that at 10 a.m. they were at Sacramento Airport and they're catching a flight to Phoenix. Phoenix, they had lunch over there with some business partners, and then by afternoon they were in Albuquerque. Albuquerque, they had a meeting presentation, and then they were back to Sacramento to catch a rental car so they go to Lake Tahoe so they could do a trade show up there. And, you know, they're just rattling off these events after events. That's how that's the way that Mark reads in a lot of this, that Jesus was dealing with people in different situations. Jesus is supposed to illustrate and to move us to faith. That's what Mark is writing about. He is challenging us to get to faith. Mark chapter 5 gives us this illustration of what we should do after we get to meet and get to engage Jesus. Mark chapter 5 tells us that story of that crazy man who was chained up in the cemetery. And Jesus comes to him, and Jesus then frees him from the demons that were possessing his body and his mind. And in verse 18 of chapter 5, it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus wants us to take action as well. The thing that I find very interesting as we go through this study is the diversity of different people. From the Pharisees to the religious newbies of the disciples. From the rich leaders to the poorest of poor. From the men that he deals with as leaders and as soldiers to the women that he deals with as adulterous and as single, as hurting. From the grieving to the sick. Jesus deals with this wide array of different people. And somewhere in there, I guarantee as you read, you will find yourself illustrated by one of these people who met Jesus. To see the love that Jesus shared to that one person, illustrated in that one life, exemplifies the love that Jesus has shared with each of us in our own unique ways. Jesus didn't just deal with them. He loved them. He took compassion on them, and he took time out of his schedule to focus on them as an individual and their crisis and their need. So what is love? Love is a sacrifice. Love has to be something that is given up. Christ was given up as a sacrifice for our sins. Love is a decision. Love cannot be something that is just felt or an emotion, because times are difficult and the requests will come in from such very different directions. It must be a conscious and continual decision. We're often hearing that there's a fine line between love and hate. And that's true. You are that fine line between love and hate. There are some things that you will love and there are some things that you will hate. Those things that you don't give time to, you virtually hate. Those things that you will give attention to, those things that you will recognize, you show love and attention to. If we don't give our time, if we don't lower ourselves and sacrifice ourselves, we're basically saying, I hate you because I don't love you. If you don't fit on my schedule, if you don't fit on my radar, I have no awareness of you. Love must be a sacrifice where we submit ourselves lower and lower to serve those people around us. That's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly what God did when he sent his son to be a sacrifice for us. When Jesus had to make a decision to be the Son of God and to commit to God's plan, Jesus had to continually lower himself till he got to the very same level as you and I. The Son of God in the form of man. And then abused and beaten, betrayed and crucified. Jesus is our illustration of what great love is. This morning, our elders and their wives are going to be making their way into the foyer. You have the choice this morning to take the time and go and talk to them and ask for love, ask for help in showing love, ask for guidance. We all know that we need help in this world. That's why God sent his son. That's why God has given us the scriptures. And that's why God has given us this church. But so many of us, we live in this delusional world that we can make it on our own. But we know that day after day, we're not succeeding the way that God wants us to be living our lives. Our elders and their wives are going to be in the foyer in just a moment. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. You've got the opportunity to go and talk to them. If you haven't given your life to God, if you haven't made him the top priority in your world, you need to do so this morning. You need to understand that love begins first from God, and then we are able to demonstrate it to the rest of this world. Let's stand and let's sing together.